From SBR News, this is Inland Journal. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Democrat Tim Ormsby has represented Washington's 3rd Legislative District in the State House of Representatives in Olympia since 2003. He's leaving public office at the end of the year. 4 people want to replace him. Their names will appear on the August 4th primary election ballot. 3 are from his party: Donovan DeLeon, Luke Jasmine III, and Pam Kohlmeyer. The 4th is Republican Natalie Paulson. We'll talk with them about why they want to serve in Olympia, what are the issues most important to them. We'll ask them about leadership, their own styles, and elected officials they admire. The top 2 candidates in the race, regardless of party, advance to the November election. Washington's 3rd Legislative District and the State House of Representatives on this week's Inland Journal. We'll go in alphabetical order and start with Donovan DeLeon, one of 3 Democrats in the race. DeLeon is a paratransit driver for Spokane Transit and an Inland Northwest native.
I think the biggest thing about being from here, or being from around here and coming to Spokane, is how much it's changed because of the housing situation. You know, I remember my friends right out of high school could go and get a job at McDonald's or Dick's Burgers, and then could get an apartment. They could get a 1-bedroom apartment. And sometimes they didn't even have to share it with somebody. It was affordable. It was like 30% of your income. And sure, everything costs a lot of money, and 3rd District's always been one of the most impoverished out of the whole state. But you could still count on affordable rent. And when you're only spending 25, 30% of your income on rent, you got money to go to that restaurant down the street. You've got money to invest. You've got money to do things. But now, instead of, you know, apartment being a third of your income, it's half your income. You know, housing used to be, you could get a house for about 3 times your annual income. Now it's almost 5. So everything's going into housing. And I think that that's why the city's struggling in so many other ways. If 20% of your check is being eaten by something that wasn't being eaten before, you're going to have harder problems. Life's going to be a lot harder. And you're not going to see small businesses. When people have to choose to eat, they're going to eat at the cheapest place they can. They're going to buy from the cheapest place they can. They're not going to go support their friends, their cousins, their neighborhood, their community, because they just don't have it. My shoes, for example, that I have, I bought these shoes for about $120, and I know I could have gotten them cheaper online. But the last time I bought these, I had to buy them online, because when I went in there to buy them, the shoes were $240. And as much as I would love to buy locally, I couldn't do it because I can't afford $250 for 1 pair of shoes. And we're seeing that. And we're seeing a lot of these small businesses, they're just getting crushed. They're getting crushed. And that's one of the main reasons I'm running, is because I just don't see, I don't believe that I'm being represented in Olympia. You know, I've talked to a lot of other people, and they don't feel that way either. They don't feel like...
So how do you change that if you go to Olympia? You're an elected representative now. How do you address that problem that you have identified here?
Well, first thing is you have to be able to identify the problems. That comes a lot, too, from being around here and being a blue-collar worker that's educated. I have 3 college degrees, including political science. But I can see the impact. And a lot of times this legislation is passed with good intention, but it really slams businesses. When I had a small business, I was doing all right. But then COVID came along. And one of the things the state, was take away licenses or suspend business licenses that weren't essential. And my business wasn't essential. I understand that. But when they suspended my license, I lost my ability to buy from wholesale. And if I can't buy wholesale, I can't resale. And so just crushed me.
Can I ask what your business was?
I ran an online business called Annie's Thrift and Vintage. I originally started with vintage items and stuff like that. But then I started moving into gourmet foods and stuff, and I could buy. But I had to buy a certain volume store. But in order to do that, I had to have a business license. As soon as they took that away or suspended it, my whole thing. And you can't just go back, because particularly online, because what happens is when you're selling a product to someone for the first time and you do a good job, they'll keep buying from you. But once that product is no longer available by you, they switch to somebody else. and they'll start buying from that person. If you come back, they're not going to switch back. They don't know if you're going to disappear again. So they just stay with it. So you lose, you know, you have several thousand customers throughout the country. And all of a sudden, guess what? You know, they're going to somebody else. And trying to rebuild all that is hard. Now, I don't think that was the intention of the legislature, but they do stuff like that all the time because they're not seeing what's going on. Being a paratransit driver, security guard, working in the healthcare industry, I see the immediate impact of these things. And even something small, like 5% increase in groceries, can be devastating to a lot of people. And I don't think they necessarily experience that. So I think it's important. That's the first thing we have to do is look through these bills and say, wait a minute, you know, how is this going to impact people? So I really think you have to look at legislation and think about what you want the end result to be.
Let's talk about taxation. A lot of folks, you know, if you go to Olympia, you're going to talk about Washington's tax system. Is it weighted toward rich people or weighted toward poor people? So what do you think about, especially think about the millionaires tax that got passed this year for people who make $1 million or more a year? What do you think about Washington's tax system?
Well, I think it's really hard to have a tax system that was made in 1933 and apply it to today's economy. I can't think of too many things except for maybe your toilet that might be the same as 1933. So you have to rethink the tax code. You can't force it on other people. You have to involve the public. You know, have them vote on stuff. Hey, would you rather have this? Would you rather have that? That way they don't feel like they're being left behind. And I think that was the biggest problem with the millionaire tax. I'm not opposed to millionaires paying the same percentage of taxes as the rest of us. They should. But the thing is, you have to do it in a way where people can understand and they see it as being fair. People want to see fairness in taxation. I think that's extremely important.
Donovan DeLeon is a candidate for a state House seat in Washington's 3rd Legislative District. The next candidate in the 3rd District is Luke Jasmine III. Jasmine is also a Democrat. He serves as Governor Bob Ferguson's regional representative in eastern Washington.
I was hired 4 years ago by Governor Inslee to be in that role, and it's a liaison role between community and our office. It's really opened my eyes. I covered the 9 eastern counties doing outreach and giving feedback to the governor, our policy directors, and one of the cool things is I get to work with our state departments and our legislators to make sure that what the people are asking for is exactly what they're getting. And prior to that, I spent about 13 years in this district working on state policy, really helping and working with community to make our voices heard. We've done a lot of work with early learning, access and affordability, with housing, especially workforce housing, and access to health, so especially mental health. So I've been really proud of that work and want to continue that, obviously, as a state rep.
You said you've learned things going through this process. What are some of the things that pop off the top of your head that have been valuable for you?
The main reason why I'm running is because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to worry about paying for housing and having a housing. I know what it's like to worry about my job and if I'm getting paid what I deserve, you know, in order to provide for my family. And I also know what it's like right now. So I have 2 parents who are seniors and they're on fixed income, and I'm continually trying to support them navigating their health care, navigating transportation. So, you know, I'm in the thick of it. And I have 2 teenage daughters, right, that I'm constantly thinking about their future. And when I talk to folks, what I'm realizing is that's really what they want. They want folks who understand their everyday lives, helping make policy that can support folks. And, you know, that's what I am looking to bring, because I'm rooted in community. Everything I've done has been community focused. And I think my biggest strength is listening. Like, I'm not the expert, but I know community is. We have so many wonderful people who know their stuff. And I take pride in listening, bringing people together and getting things done. So that's where I'm running, and that's what I see right now. That's what I've learned just through all of my experiences.
The legislature is in a situation where the state's in a deficit, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of needs out there. So how do you approach that as a state legislator in terms of understanding there are needs that people have, but there's also a very limited amount of money?
Yeah. Well, several ways. Number one, we need folks who understand, right, who have lived experience, who are deeply rooted in community, and I'm deeply rooted in the 3rd District. You know, I've been doing work for, you know, like I said, 13 years in this district, and I think we get it. Sometimes folks want to cut, and I think we've seen federally what the unintended impacts of just cutting is. What I've found is folks are fine. Folks are fine if they got to sacrifice somewhere or if something needs to be prioritized a little bit more than something else. But what people really want is transparency, and they want to be part of the solutions. And that's what I'm really looking to bring is I'm not solving this by myself. I'm asking for folks to elect me so that we can solve it together. And I will do my part in making sure I show up, I listen, I get the full community input, because that's what we're going to need to make these decisions moving forward. So yeah, having that transparency, having that open door policy, that's really what I think we need, because you're right, we do have a lot of priorities and not one is greater than the other. And we just need everyone to be at the table to decide where that future is.
So the legislature has been talking about what should our tax system look like? Do we need to review our tax system to make it more fair for this group or for that group? There was a millionaire's tax, quote unquote, approved by the legislature. How do you fall on that one and kind of having this larger discussion about Washington's tax system?
Yeah, I supported the millionaire's tax. I worked on the millionaire's tax with legislators, and I think we all can agree that we need to balance our tax code in Washington State. Even folks who might not necessarily agree with the millionaire's tax, they know we need to work on our tax code. And what I hear a lot of times is the analogy of a house, right? And folks are like, well, you know, when I have my house budget, I just cut expenses. And it's like, no, you don't. You look at like what's important. You look at what you're going to make sure that you have funds go to, right? Because there's non-negotiables, even in your house. There's non-negotiables that you have to pay, right? And then a lot of times, too, what are you doing? You're looking at ways to advance, to maybe make more money, because maybe the job that you're in doesn't pay enough, right? So when folks are talking about, oh, well, we just need to cut, we need to stop spending, it's like, listen, we grew by 1 million people in 10 years. That's 1 million people that have come to our state. We are one of the fastest growing states in the United States of America. And what that means is more wear and tear on our infrastructure, right? That means that's more kids in our schools. That's more folks that need care, health care in our state. So what we need to do, in my opinion, is one, we need to work on workforce development. We need to get more pathways for folks to be able to earn more funds. We need to fund education. Again, that helps folks get into a good place to really be productive members of society and contribute back to our state. So, yes, we need to work on our tax code, but we also need to put our money in things that are going to prioritize and support our growing state.
Luke Jasmine III is one of 3 Democrats who are running for a seat in the Washington State House of Representatives from the 3rd District. You're listening to Inland Journal, and today we're talking with the candidates who want to replace Tim Ormsby in the State House. We're going in alphabetical order. The next candidate is Democrat Pam Kohlmeyer, an emergency room physician. So, Pam, why did you decide to run this year?
So the honest reason is we lost a child to suicide 3 years ago, and I've done everything I can to help raise awareness about mental health, and I joined multiple boards involved with that, and it's not enough. So I'm trying to help improve funding and awareness at the state level.
Where would you pull the funding for something like that?
Well, the tough thing is that it's really all of healthcare that I'm trying to help stabilize right now. Like you and I met a couple of months ago talking about Prosperity Eastern Washington trying to save rural health. So all of healthcare is kind of under attack right now with HR1, funding cuts federally. So the state really has to step up to help make sure that healthcare access is available for all of us in the state. And behavioral health is already underfunded. And so having someone with a healthcare background, I'm an ER doctor, with that awareness of the unintended consequences of not funding it appropriately actually costs the state more in the long term. Jails, all this stuff. So having that perspective will help a lot in the legislature. I'm also an attorney. I'm a mom, educator. It's really funding the things that helps communities thrive. And those would be fully funding education, making sure that the healthcare system is stable, which right now it is not, prioritizing things that keep us safe. And so right now our homeless crisis is really an issue in the third LD. Elsewhere in the state too, but especially here. So really focusing on those issues so that all of us feel safer in the community and we all have the ability to thrive.
What do you think about the state's tax system? There's been a lot of talk about the state is taxing people too much in order to be able to raise the money that is needed for the priorities that you're talking about. How do you feel about that? Do you, for example, support the idea of an income tax for the most wealthy individuals?
So that's a complex question. So the root of taxation is it should be fair. And it's kind of impossible to get everyone to accept that a tax system could be fair. But right now we have one of the most regressive tax systems out there, which is horrible. We so heavily tax people that really can hardly afford to live. And so we have to flip that so that people that have the ability to pay are the ones that are actually providing a huge amount of money to help with our economy and our schools and all the funding that we talked about. The reality is that we also are a community and a state of laws. And so we have to make sure that our tax code complies with our own state constitution. And it'll be up to the state Supreme Court to determine if the millionaire's tax complies with that. And if it doesn't, we have to get creative as a state to make sure we are having the ultra wealthy be the ones that are taxed, but complying with the Constitution. So I would propose a tweak of if we can't do it to individuals with their individual tax system, to tax the corporations that are paying those really high salaries to those people. Because if the corporations that can afford to pay a CEO multi-millions of dollars, if we can't tax the multi-million dollars of the person earning it, we could tax the person providing it, if that makes sense. So having still the people who have the ability to pay, paying more, because right now what we're doing is not working for anyone.
So the state's budget has increased quite a lot over the last 10 to 20 years.
Yep.
Is the state spending too much?
Yes. There have to be places that there can be cuts. And the beauty of being a government outsider, like I've worked for the government in the past. I was a policy manager, staff attorney for the Washington Medical Commission that licenses and disciplines doctors. So I understand what it's like to be a government employee and what it's like to work for the state. I also got to witness in that role that there are areas that there can be cuts. Having said that, cutting programs like child care access for really low socioeconomic families is not the answer. Cutting more funding to education is not the answer. But what we have to do is we have to make sure that someone who has a fresh set of eyes, like myself and many others, we were just saying that there's a big turnover in the House this year, comes in and asks the questions of why is it that we're funding so much for this? Taking tours of some of the buildings. When I worked for the Medical Commission, I was not alone in working remotely. I was working from my home on the South Hill of Spokane, but I was based in Olympia. I would go to Olympia every 6 weeks for a commission meeting. in the Department of Health building where the commission was housed used to be full of employees because people worked on site. Because of COVID, as awful as COVID was, the aftermath is some people chose to continue working remotely. And in some ways, that's good for jobs. For people on the east side of the state, you can work for the Department of Health or somewhere else based in Olympia. But it also freed up a lot of wasted office space. And so to continue to own the building or pay the rent and pay the, you know, the heat and the custodian, it's a waste. And so making sure that we are only funding what we have to with what we're paying.
So it sounds like your priorities for funding are the social issues and education and a lot of the things that are at that basic social safety net.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of the debate ends up later about, like, well, do we have to pay more for the jails and whatnot? If you fully fund education, you make sure that people have access to health care at very young ages so they can get diagnosed early when there are problems. They are more likely to be able to thrive, have good jobs, contribute more to the tax system themselves than if you don't fund their education well enough. They don't have access to health care. They don't have food. They don't have housing. They're more likely to end up in jails. And then you need to have conversations about how do we fund more jails, which is not where the discussion should be. It should be how do we help people early on so they can be productive individuals that thrive.
That's Pam Kohlmeyer, who's a Democrat running for the Washington State House in the 3rd Legislative District. The final candidate in this race is Natalie Polson. Polson is a school teacher and the lone Republican running.
I love Spokane. It's the most beautiful city, and I just see it becoming unaffordable. I worry about our schools. I want them to be strong schools. We have amazing teachers, but we seem to just have way too much politics and government controlling our public education system.
So if you become a legislator, what sort of influence do you want to have?
I definitely want to influence affordability. Our families, and I'm one of those working families, it is just becoming unaffordable. The taxes are out of control. I definitely feel like we need to look at our budget and live within our means, meaning the state. I do as a personal, you know, my own personal house, I have to budget my household spending. So I think it's time that the state does the same with our tax dollars.
Are there taxes that you in particular are bothered by?
I think it's a matter of coming down and looking at it in a way that we're looking at the outcome. What taxes are we doing? What's the outcome of those taxes? What programs are they going into? What's the outcome of those programs? So I think it just comes down to really taking a look at what is happening. In addition to, we got to start looking at revenue streams. Obviously, our sales tax is not providing the revenue that we need. So it's time to come back to the drawing board and look and really have conversations about what is best for Washington State.
So you want to look at the whole, I mean, when you talk about sales taxes, transportation taxes, the whole nine yards is what you're looking at?
Absolutely. Don't you think it's time? I mean, as a taxpayer, when we're paying really a really high amount of taxes, it's expensive for us to put gas in our car. It's expensive to buy groceries. Our housing, you know, even my property taxes are out of control. So let's look at that. We have had, what was it, $33 billion budget, and now we're at over $80 billion. Let's start talking about why has it increased so much? We even had, you know, Greg Wire talk about it, to where, why is it increased so excessively? What are we doing? And then we've gone from a surplus to a deficit. So again, let's really sit down and find out what's going on.
So what do you think when this year's legislature approved a quote-unquote millionaire's tax for people who make $1 million a year or more?
I definitely believe in our Constitution. So we need to pay attention to staying within our Constitution. And an income tax is unconstitutional. So I think we need to remember that we want to be ethical.
Well, I think there's still some disagreement among people about whether or not it's constitutional or not.
That's a fair. I do know that people are saying that, but we do have it in our Constitution to not have an income tax. So
beyond taxation, what are some of the issues that you're most passionate about that you would work on as a state representative?
definitely passionate about separating homelessness from the true issue of addiction and mental health crisis. And that's probably one of my greatest passions. I think we need true recovery services to help people in addiction get recovered and live their best lives. So I definitely want to put some serious time and effort into the recovery program. And where is that money going? And is it producing an outcome that actually gets people recovered?
It would be a pretty expensive underpinning. I mean, if you're talking about having to create new facilities, government-run facilities, to be able to deal with that?
I don't think we need to create anything. There is enough systems out there. And so I think it's looking at those systems and figuring out, again, what is the outcome of those systems? I don't think we need new taxes, new facilities. I think we need to work with what we have and make sure that we're actually producing a good outcome. And a good outcome to me is getting people recovered.
So why do you think you'd be a good representative?
I think I am the best choice. I think we have been voting the same in District 3 for well over 30 years, and it's time for change. I think we're voting for our own struggle, and it's time to vote differently. Probably the best thing that I could bring to the table is bringing the right people to the table. So we need to start having those conversations with constituents and with experts in a field on a certain topic and coming to the table and having a real conversation about what's best for spending taxpayer dollars, what's best for working families, what are we going to do to really make Washington great again, because Washington State, unfortunately, is declining. And we're an amazing state. We have so many resources, such an incredible area, that it's time we get back to being at the top of thriving and business and lower taxes.
Where are the areas you think you would need to learn the most if you become an elected official? What are the steps that you would feel you'd have to take to get up to speed as a legislator?
I'm definitely a researcher, and I've already started the research. So based on topics that, you know, I don't necessarily have an expertise in, which we shouldn't be expected to be an expert in all things. But it's really easy to sit down and research and talk to the experts in the field and really get an understanding of the pros and cons and the debate of both sides. And then you make a really educated decision on any bills that come forth, while also listening to the constituents. That's where I feel like I will do probably the best, is taking into consideration what Spokane needs. It's going to be different than Seattle. So what does Spokane, LD3, need? Not all those statewide mandates.
So how does being a teacher help you become a legislator?
I am really good at getting people to the table, having conversations. That's what I did most of the time, was the conversation would be on one kid and we'd have lots of experts around the table, and you have to really keep that conversation moving forward when there's a lot of emotion and a lot of good points from all perspectives. And so you have to make some decisions, and sometimes they're hard decisions.
Natalie Paulson is a Republican candidate for a state House seat in Washington's 3rd Legislative District. She's running against Democrats Donovan DeLeon, Luke Jasmine III, and Pam Kohlmeyer. You'll see their names on the August 4th primary election ballot. The top two candidates, regardless of party, will advance to the November general election. We've chosen before the primary to focus on races where the incumbent is leaving office. And over the next few weeks, we'll introduce you to more candidates for the legislature and for Spokane County Auditor. We'll post longer excerpts of our conversations at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Inland Journal is the weekly public affairs program produced at SPR News. It's on the radio every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. and Saturday at 2:30, or online anytime at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thank you for listening. I'm Doug Nadvornik.